Moshe, you take it? Rabbi's starting here.
How can you tell we don't have a menu?
With your permission. The Sefer Yeshua is really, from now on, from chapter 11, that's what we're up to. And Rabbi Yehoshua is only going to tell us the way Yehoshua captured and destroyed the enemies in Am Yisrael. So with your permission, I would like to skip a few chapters, and in the chapters themselves we'll skip just a part. It's not just geography and name. And I would like, with your permission, to start with your permission.
Thank you very much, Amash.
The chapter 14 sentence 6 in Sefer Yehoshua. And this is after Yehoshua already started to divide the land of Israel between the tribes. And after he captured them, the sentence 6, it says, Vayikshuv bnei Yehuda, with your permission, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Vav, Vayikshuv bnei Yehuda, Yehoshua b'Gilgal. The children of Yehuda, it means the tribe of Yehuda, came to Yehoshua in the Gilgal. This is the place that dwelled in the meantime. And Yehoshua, they told him, in the name of the president of Shevet Yehuda, Kalev ben Yefuneh HaKnizi. And this is the way they're going to present the case, that he is going to ask something from Yehoshua. Ata yadata, you know, Yehoshua, et hadavar asher dibar Hashem el Moshe ish Elokim l'adotah. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moses, the prophet, about myself, ve'al odotecha, and also about yourself, v'kadosh baneach. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Sentence 7, with your permission, בן 40 שנה אנוכי בשלוח, I was 40 years old, בן בשלוח משה ואת השם אותי מקדש בניה להגיע את הארץ. I was 40 years old, and משה רבינו send me to spy the land of Israel. והשב אותו דבר כאשר נביא, this is chapter 14, sentence 7. We're going to skip now a little bit because it's a lot of geography and borders and names. So Caleb and Yefuneh is talking to Yeshua ben Nun, they both were sent from the desert by Moshe Rabbeinu to spy in Eretz Yisrael. V'achai, sentence 8, V'achai asher alu imi, my brothers that went along with me, Misum, Himsu, et lev ha'am, they came back and they made the heart of the nation melted. V'anochi mileti acher Hashem Elokai, but I fulfilled after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I did not say the wrong thing about the land of Israel. משמע משה ביום ההוא לאמור, at that time משה רבינו swore in God's name, אם לא הארץ אשר דרכה רגלך בא לך אתננה, נחתי לנחלה. The land that you step is going to be yours. You are going to inherit it. ולבניך, to your children עד עולם and forever. כי מילאת אחרי השם אלוקיי, because you fulfilled after הקדוש ברוך הוא. Therefore, ואתה הנה, הנה יחיה השם אותי, הקדוש ברוך הוא gave me life until today. Tashir Dibir, like he spoke, there are 45 now, and 45 years since Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies. מאז דיבר השם את הדבר הזה על משה אשר הלך איתו במדבר, since I'm Israel was walking in the desert, ועתה מנה הנה אנוכי בן 580 שנה, I am 85. עוד איני היום חזק, I'm still strong, כאשר ביום שלח אותי משה. תיקוחי אז וכוחי אתה. I'm as strong as I was when Moshe Rabbeinu sent me to spy at Israel. Even though I'm 85, at the time I was 40, I'm still very strong. למלחמה ולתת לבוא. I'm strong, I'm a strong person. ואתה אינת, נע לי את ההר הזה שדיבר השם ביום ארוך. Therefore I'm asking you to give me the mountain. Which mountain is this? This is called the mountain of Hebron. Because Caleb ben Yefuneh went to Hebron before the spies went around the Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that Caleb ben Yefuneh, that person, did not participate together with other spies, he did not say bad things about Eretz Yisrael. But therefore now I'm asking you this sentence, swear with your permission, chapter 14, תנא לי את ההר הזה אשר דיבר השם ביום ההוא, give me this mountain. כי אתה שמעת ביום ההוא כי הנשים שם. You also heard that time there were giants over there. האם זאת המצורות, the big cities and big walls? אולי השם אותי, maybe I can't even give it to me, or השתים כאשר דיבר השם, I'm going to fight them and destroy them. So please, I'm asking a special request. I want to get this mountain for myself. This is a special request because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he decided to give the land with a lato and also with a kind of division the way Yeshua is going to do. Nevertheless, he's coming with a request. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that I'm going to get something, I'd like to get it from you. If that's the case, you don't have to say that you're strong as ever, it's really not important. I said, if you come with a request or maybe a demand that you deserve to inherit and to be the boss of Hebron,
where is the moment? Talking about Hebron.
I said, if you deserve...
No.
The Mabul came because of that statement, or Moshe.
Oh, yeah?
So we're already in the middle of the Mabul.
The
common
angle
of the Mabul. Right, as I said, in the middle of the Mabul. He's saying the same statement that Cain said. That's called the Mabul. So Caleb ben Yefuneh is requesting and demanding maybe the land of the city of Hebron, but he's also emphasizing it is very strong. He says, I'm as strong as I was 40, I'm at 85. He says, that's not important. Time for how strong you are. He says, if you feel that this land belongs to you, if you feel that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, that you're going to get this land because this is the land that you visited when you came to Eretz Israel while the other spies went around, you visited that place, so you deserve it. So it's nothing to do if you're weak or if you're strong. It doesn't matter if you're 85 or 40 or 50. It doesn't matter. If you feel that you need it, and this is something that was promised to you, it doesn't make a difference if you're strong or have shalom, if you're weak or if you're sick, it doesn't matter. Nevertheless, he emphasized that he is very, very strong, as much as well as he was 40 years old. He's 85, he's emphasizing, I'm as strong as him, so it doesn't matter. Tabachei Yeshua gave him a blessing. He gave him the city of Hebron forever. Okay, therefore sentence 14 with your permission, attached Hebron Lechalev Yifuneh Akmizir and Lechalev Adayom Atei. Until today, if somebody is going to ask you who owns Hebron, don't tell him Arachav. Tell him Caleb ben Yefuneh. This is Yeshua gave it to Caleb ben Yefuneh. Arachav has no right on Hebron. Maybe he has right on Tulkarev, but definitely not on Hebron. Hebron was given specially to a private citizen as a present. First of all, I would like to know what is the idea of Yeshua wrote it. I mean, Arafat anyway doesn't believe in this, otherwise he wouldn't fight for that. But why this story is written in the Navi, and what is really the idea of Caleb ben Yefuneh that he's asking Yeshua ben Nun to give him this place? If somebody deserves something, if you have a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get it. You get it. You don't have to ask. This is something that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. It is a lot for now. And the Gemara says the Lator and the Urim Etumim. It says what the Kohen Gadol was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Elazar was still alive. And he was standing over there with the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, and they figure out on the Urim Etumim, on these stones, which part goes to who. So if Caleb really deserved something, the stone of Yudah would shine, and Yeshua would ask the Kohen to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give the answer. You don't come and ask, listen, I need this place called Hebron, I deserve it, I really was promised it. If you were promised it, then Yeshua will come to you, he's a Navi, Hashem speaks to him very frequently, and Yeshua will get a message that says this city of Hebron belongs to Caleb. You don't come and tell a story to Yeshua ben Nun, listen, you see, we together, we were in the same army, and we went spying, and we both came, and me and you, we were the only one that did not say bad things about Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu promised me that I should get something, and listen, I'm here to get it. It says, if I'll get instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll get it. I'm sorry to tell you this, I cannot give you anything, I'm not the boss. I'm just the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My name is Yeshua ben Nun. I'm trying to complete HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. I'm not on my own. I'm not the president of the United States that he can give here, can give there. Buy oil from here, give oil to there. He says, I am a regular slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you cannot come to me and tell me, listen, Hashem told me to get it. If Hashem told you to get it, get it. Now don't worry, talk it to me. Obviously you're talking to me because I am now the one that's going to give it. He says, how do you come to me and tell me what to do? Who are you to tell me what to do? Yeshua does it for him. Yeshua doesn't say it, Yeshua asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, okay, here it is, get it. So maybe, how can you give it to me? You can't give it to him. This is the land of Israel. This is not Madagascar, not Uganda. This is Hebron. This is the city of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. He says, somebody comes and tells, this Hashem told it to me. Okay, if Hashem told it to you, I'll tell it to me. My name is Yeshua ben Nun, I'm a Navi. He says, if you have belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't come and ask and request, like we say in English, Schnorrer. He says, he's coming. He says, he needs it. What do you need it for? What do you need it for? Excuse me, what do you need it for? What do you need? For what? You need Hebron. What are you going to get? What are you going to get from it? You're going to get nothing from it. What are you going to get? More real estate he needs. That's what it means. He likes real estate. He likes real estate now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him real estate. He wants to do business over there. He's 85 years old. He's worried about real estate now. He says, therefore, you should know it's true. Yeshua gave him a blessing and Yeshua told him this city of Hebron belongs to you forever. Yan Asher Mileh Acharei Hashem Elokei Yisrael, because he just was listening and doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. Hashem Hebron Lefanim, also you should know the name of the city of Hebron before was Kiryat Arba. Adam HaGadol Ba'anakim was the big man. The Machloket, who is this big man? It's referring to Avraham Avinu. Maybe it refers to the father of the giants. This is Adam HaGadol Ba'anakim. Biggest one. The biggest one, it means the Gemara says, maybe it's called Abraham Avinu. This what it means, maybe that he lived over there, that he bought Maraka Machpelah, maybe because he bought this place that he buried Sarai, Menu, and then eventually they buried him, Yitzhak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah, maybe that's what it means. But okay, who cares about it? What do you have to know this? It says, now the name of the city is Hebron, you don't have to know what was the name of that city before. So Navi says, the city you should know, the name of the city before was Kiryat Arba. It says, after the Avraham Avinu used to live there. It says, well, who cares about it? It's not who lives over there. It says, now you're getting this piece of land, the city of Hebron, should be your own private place. It doesn't matter what was the name before and who lived there before. If you deserve it, you got it. So you got it, doesn't matter. What's the information? Then I'll be able to tell you. Right at the end of the sentence, sentence 15, it says, V'arash shaktam imam chama. It says, this is really, when the land of Israel, this is the stop of the war. It doesn't mean that that statement took place and then the war stopped. It means at the same time, that Caleb and Yefuneh went and discussed this matter of Hebron with Yeshua ben Nun, you should know at that time already there was a ceasefire, if we can say, Am Israel won and captured most of the places that they were able to capture right now. Even though they didn't finish the whole thing, but the most of the thing, I mean, now it's quiet in Israel. It's no more suicide bombers, let's put it this way. Again, the question is, what is this, the significance of that story, the Tzvikni and the Navi, and what is really the secret behind giving Hebron to Caleb, and the way the Navi puts it, he's going to own it, and even though that he is part of the tribe of Yehuda. If you skip, with your permission, chapter 15, sentence 13. As I told you before, we're going to skip here now a few times, and we're going to finish after Yeshua very quickly, because most of the chapters now are just names of cities and the borders of Eretz Israel, the way Yeshua captured. So I'm just going to go through the information, and Navi gives us besides the name of the cities. So with your permission, again, this is chapter 15, sentence 13. We're going back now after the borders are being set by Yehoshua Binun. So in the middle of the border, the story is coming back. Again, we're talking about Kalul Chaleb ben Yefuneh, to this God that you spoke about, that demanded and requested the city of Hebron. Natan, Yehoshua gave Chaleb Tuch Ben Yehuda, he gave him a separate part among the land of Judah, of Yehuda, El-Pi Hashem Yehoshua, because Hashem finally told him to do it. Et Kiryat Arba Avi Anati Hebron. He gave him the place, it's called Hebron. Ve'yom Shusham Kaleb Et Shosh Ne'anaz, Kaleb went and destroyed the giants, the three big giants, Et Shishai, Et Achimam, Et Amai, Et Ne'anaz. There were three giants that lived in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. He destroyed them. Ve'yom Misham El Yoshvei Dvir, Hashem Dvir Lepanim Kriyat Tesa. So Kalev, after he captured the city of Hebron, he went to a place that's called Dvir. So Navi, you should know the name of that city, Dvir, before was Kriyat Tesa. Kriyat Tesa, the translation of those two words in Hebrew, this is the city of the book. Kaleb said, Asher Yakeh Kriyat Tesa Uchadar, whoever is going to capture that city, I'm going to give him my daughter. He's going to be my son-in-law. It's a new city that just was created now, about 20 years ago. Right. It's a very big city today. I don't know if it's on the same spot. So they call the city Kriyat Tesa. Most of the people in Kriyat Tesa are people that learn and studying. So the Navi tells you a story that Kaleb and Yefuneh went and he captured Hebron. After he captured Hebron, there is a city next to that Hebron, it's called Dvir. And the Dvir, really, the name of the city of Dvir is Kiryat Sefer. So Kaleb, as the president of the tribe of Judah, said, I want a volunteer that is going to capture that city. What do you need a volunteer for? And says, what's the problem? I get all the army of Yehuda and let him go on the city of Kiryat Sefer and capture it. Kaleb said, no. I would like to know who is going to capture that city. What do you mean capture that city? You have an army. Let the army go ahead and capture the city. He's asking, he says, who is a volunteer that wants to capture? He says, not only that, he's going to be my son-in-law. What is this? Because somebody is going to fight that city, then he's going to be his son-in-law. So the Gemara, this is a very bad statement. Says the Gemara, you should not have said it like this. Because Chas v'Shalom, somebody, a crippled guy, or who knows who, would go and he will be a suicide bomber. He's going to go and capture the city and he's going to be a son-in-law, El Capon. This is going to have a son, El Capon. What kind of statement is this? This is first you have to interview the guy, and you see who is the guy. After you see who is the guy, you see if he's suitable to be your son-in-law. You don't see who is going to capture that city, he's going to be my son-in-law. The Gemara, it's a big mistake. So the Gemara, Arba'a Sha'ahu Sha'alu Shalom Kishalom Kehogen. He says, four people ask, not the right way. And he's one of them, says the Gemara. I should not have asked this one. Anyway, he did. So he was smart enough not to do such a thing. I mean, the Gemara said, how can you take a risk? And how can you ask and say, oh, the volunteer is going to capture that city, is going to be my son-in-law. And you can give him a medal. You can say, you know, he's the medal of the United States, but he cannot be just, you know, telling me his son-in-law. I don't want a son-in-law like this. I want to see the son-in-law fix my daughter. I didn't know he's going to have a good marriage. Every second couple in America gets divorced. And in Israel, it's every couple gets divorced twice. In America, it's only every couple gets divorced. Every second couple.
couple.
Right. In America, every second couple get divorced. In Israel, every couple get twice divorced. That's why to be American. And that's the law at Achsa Bitil Isha. Since the Gemara, what's his name is Achsa. 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 Achsa means disgusting. Really, the word Achsa means Achsa. Since the Gemara, whoever saw this girl, Achsa, came home, looked at his wife, and said, Achsa. It says, that girl, says the Gemara, says it. Such a special girl. I said, she's such a special girl, and you're looking to have a soldier being son-in-law, you're a son-in-law. And just somebody that knows how to fight to capture Kira Sevi to be your son-in-law. It's impossible. And they have a smart person, will not do such a thing. This guy talking about the presence of Sevi Yudat, Karevini Pune. We find this also in the Tanakh, also that Shaul HaMelech said, whoever is going to bring me 100 corps of Plishtim, I'm going to give him my daughter. This is Gemara also a mistake. He should not have said such a statement. You never know who is going to bring you 100 corps of Plishtim. So you don't give your daughter, the daughter of the king, to someone. Here is the daughter of the Prince of Shevet Yehuda, and he says, the name of Achsa, says the Gemara, the most beautiful girl, the nicest girl at the time, that was living at the time, was Achsa. And he says, Achsa is going to be married to this guy, is going to capture the city. Says in Navi, we use the permission sentence 17 by Kedah Otniel Ben Knaz Zachik Alev. Otniel Ben Knaz, that wasn't his name, but that's what they call him. It says a person that was a brother to him, a brother of Kalev captured it. It's very suspicious, you know. I know. That's your brother, I mean. That's it. So he announced whoever wants to capture the city, all of a sudden his brother goes and captures the city. I know, it sounds fishy. Of course, there's no bribery involved, but... So the Navi, but he came out, Yemek Naz, Achi Kalev. With his brother, but not the brother from a father and mother, just from one side to take him out. Vayiten lo etachta bito liisha, through... So Otniel married his niece. I mean, what's Mazal Tov? I mean, what's Mesadeh Kedushin? Who did the Chuppah? I mean, what did Navi want to tell you? By Hebrew Roah, and she got married to this guy, but they said, Tehu Lishol Met Avia Sadeh. So she said, ask my father also should give me a field. I said, we want, you know, that he captured the city of Kiryat Sefer. He got married to Kalev's daughter. And right at the wedding, that's what the Gemara says, right at the wedding, she asked her husband, they said, go ask my father that he should give us a field. This is, whatever you have is nothing, it's not worth it. But it's not Malach Amor, she just bowed down off the donkey. Then Malach Kalev Malach, and then her father asked her, what happened to you? She almost like fainted. But then she told her father, Nali Bracha, please, I'd like something, that I should have Parnasat, I should have something good. You gave me pieces of land from the south. I also need some wells of water. Let me tell you, they tell like gulot iliyot and gulot achtiyot. Then Kalev gave her, besides what he gave them, that some real estate in the south, also gave them another field. And the field what she wanted had kind of springs. It says two kinds of springs, higher springs and lower springs. That means really that the field that he gave her had springs in it. So yeah, I said that's a very nice story. Excellent story. I said, why do you have to know this? Why do you have to know who she got married to, who kept her Kiryat Sefer, and she wants from her father more land? What do you ask your father more land? She said, anyway, everything is by the lotto, and everything is by the Urim V'Tumim. You can't ask anything. Everything was given to everyone upon a lotto. And since you gave your name, you say this is your land. You cannot exchange it, and if you don't want it, you just have to go move to the Hilton Hotel. It's nothing to do. Everything was given by Elato, everything that the Kohen Gadol was standing by, and here the Kohen Gadol was saying that he prayed. And they used to hear, says the Gemara, they used to hear a sound like a voice. Because the voice said, you live on Broad Avenue 77. He says, if you like it or you don't like it, this is your place. You've got to move there. He says, you can't go and ask Yoshua, give me this real estate, that real estate, give me, I want a spring, I want to have something else in the land, I want to have some diamonds, I'm letting my thing, oil. He says, you can't get anything. Whatever the Lato said, that's what you got. You couldn't say anything. Everything was given. Everyone could go to Yoshua and say, listen, give me this, give me that. I said, here's Caleb in for this, that's the to you die, you can come. I said, I know it's you, I know it's my daughter, but if you're very honest and you're very clean and very pure, you don't take advantage because she's your daughter. I said, your daughter wants to have something else. I said, okay. Very nice that you want, I'm sorry to tell you, this is a Lato, you get this piece of land, this is your land. She got a piece of land in the desert of Judah. He said, it's too dry, either you have to pray to God it should have rain, or go buy water from Turkey. But you can't come to Caleb and say, listen, this is dry land, give me some place there. You can't get some place there. Every piece of land belongs to somebody else. You can't just ask a request from the president of Judah, give me this land, give me that land. And he said, yeah, Caleb gave it to her. So he said, well, give it to her. Also, the way the Navi says it, the Navi says that she asked her husband, she said, go ask my father for land. He said, for a field, because whatever we have, all the real estate that we have is dry land, we won't be able to do anything, and we need something to have money to have to be able to support ourselves, and this is no land. So please go ask my father. And then she fell off the donkey, and she said, give me please a blessing, and he gives her that kind of extra piece of land. Again, I don't know why this is said here in Sefer Yoshua. Permission, I just want to go, then we'll skip back. I want to go to the end of Sefer Yoshua. End of Sefer Yoshua, this is chapter 24, sentence 29. This is the last chapter of Sefer Yoshua and the last paragraph of Sefer Yoshua. We'll get back to Sefer Hashem later. Chapter 24, sentence 29. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this 29. After the whole thing that Yeshua spoke to Am Israel and gave him the last instructions, he called them, he gathered them, and he warned them, and he told them, you have to be careful, you have to listen to the Torah. He gave the whole speech, like his will to the nation of Israel. And says, "Vayi acharei advarim ha'ele v'yamot Yeshua b'nei Emet Hashem." Yeshua was considered as the slave of God as well, and he died. B'nei Aves Hashanim, 110 years old. Ikberu oto, they buried him, b'gvul nachalato, at the edge of his border, that he belonged to Shevet Ephraim, b'timnat Serach, asher b'har Ephraim, mitzafon le'argash. It says, Yeshua b'nun was buried in a place, that place is called Timnat Serach. Timnat Serach. Says the Chachamim, says the Gemara, but in another place, the Rosh Hashanah Sefer Shoftim will learn, it's called Timnat Cheres. You see, the word Serach, if you change the letters, you read backwards, the word Serach is Cheres. Cheres is a synonym name to sun. Like you have Levana, you have Yareach, you have Chama, you have Cheres. The word Cheres is a synonym name to sun. So when Yeshua died on the monument, they engraved like a sun. A sun. And so this is Timnat Serach. It says they're buried in the place called Timnat Serach. So the Gemara, it's not Serach. Serach, if you read backwards, the word Serach is Cheres. Cheres means the sun. It shines. It's on the grave of Yeshua, they engrave a sun. It says, why did you engrave a sun on the grave of Yeshua? So telling you, Yeshua had a power over the sun. If you remember, 2 weeks ago we learned that Yeshua was able to stop the sun from moving. Since Shemesh Begivon Dov, he told the sun while he was fighting with the king that came to attack the city of Givon, Yeshua told the sun, do not move, and this was a Friday afternoon, and either for 36 hours or 48 hours the sun did not move. And this is when Yeshua died, not only they engraved on his grave the sun, that means Cheres, the shape of the sun, also they made speeches about him. They gave speeches. And in his funeral, and after his funeral, that's what they said. It says, you know who died? The one that was able to stop the sun. It says, constantly they're talking about him. That's why he said that Yeshua died, they buried him at the edge of his border, and they engraved on his grave an engraving of a sun to teach, to tell us how great was he, that he was able to stop the sun from moving. And that's the explanation of the pasuk. Since the Gemara, whoever passed next to the grave of Yeshua ben Nun, said, look at the grave. He says, what is this? They saw the picture of the moon, the sun, on the grave. They said, look, it's a shame. This person did such a great thing and died. Yeah. So this is the information that Yeshua died. Says the Gemara, this was a very big mistake. A tremendous mistake. The Gemara doesn't talk about the engraving itself, it was a mistake or not. The Gemara said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset from Israel, and this was the speech that they gave after Yeshua died. It's not, says the Gemara, it's not the right speech. You embarrass them. Of course, it's a big thing to stop the sun and to stop the moon, but this is not what his idea was. So what you should have said, says the Gemara, you should have said he studied Torah the whole time. He says, this is more satisfied than just to say that he was a miracle man. He was like a very great person that was able to stop the sun. In our eyes, says the Gemara, it's something that nobody else can do, of course. That is, nobody else, the Navi says, was able to stop the sun upon command and say, stop, don't move.
Well, stopping the sun, I realize that.
It happened a few times in the Bible.
But actually, the sun never stopped.
You're right.
The earth had to stop.
That's right. That's what I said 2 weeks ago. Right.
I mean, the sun is stationary.
Right. Right. Not exactly, but it moves a little bit, right.
Yeah.
That's what I said 2 weeks ago. You're right. I also suspected it. I said the same thing what you said. It means the earth stopped. Yeah. I had to say, I'm not sure. I have the same dilemma that you have. Right.
It's not the dilemma. God could do anything.
Right.
That's
right.
Why it's really not
right.
A dilemma, it's
why
you believe it or not.
Right. No, but they knew it. I mean, everybody knew it. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to know it.
No.
Right. But anyway, they came out.
I don't know if they knew that the earth turned.
They knew everything. They knew.
They couldn't have known.
No. Anyway. The Gemara says that Chachamim knew all the parts of the inside of the body perfect, without opening a person, without cutting a person. They looked at the person and they saw and they said exactly how the brain looks and everything else. Not only that, The Gemara said that Chachamim used to see it and he used to say how many stars up there. Shamayim, but not how many stars altogether. They said group of stars that only today, in our time, with our telescopes and our instruments, we can see certain things. And the Gemara said that Shmuel, one of the Chachamim, used to give lectures in astronomy. And he used to give lectures and he used to say behind this star is another one, behind this one is another one, we couldn't see nothing. Because the wisdom, I mean, it's not, I mean, the Chachamim of course know, but not only them, they knew, even the Greeks. The Greeks knew a lot of things with their wisdom. What's going on in the stars and behind the stars. This was some kind of wisdom that people learned and taught, and some of them taught themselves. We don't know how much they know, but this is a very simple thing to prove that the earth moves and which way it moves. He's going to be a genius. For example, the Goyim said that we didn't know if the world is round or it's straight or it's something, and until somebody finally came a few hundred years ago and made some tests, and this he went to the ocean, this and that, and he went and he found out that the world is round. In our Midrash, and in our Gemara it says that Alexander Mogdon was a genius, and he was a great person.
2,000 years ago.
And he went on an eagle. There was no planes, there was no... Nobody couldn't sell them planes. Albert couldn't sell them any planes.
Yeah,
at that time you didn't have your business yet. I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. He went on top of an eagle.
I was entering camera.
Right. At that time you were camera. It says in the Midrash, that's the Parashat Nassau. The Midrash was printed 1500 years ago. And the Midrash says that 2000 years ago, Mr. Alexander Mogdon went on top of an eagle. And he went from the eagle, he went very high, and he saw the world is round. So the last few hundred years had been wasted to prove it is round, it's not round. This already was notified by this Alexander Mogdon by flying on top of an eagle. And there was no hijacking, was nothing. He was by himself on an eagle. It says in the Midrash.
No guess,
nothing. In the Midrash, whenever our Torah says, it says this is a proof that Chachamim also know it, of course. It is even Alexander Mogdon knew it because he flew over the ocean and he saw the world is round. So again, we don't have all the information what they knew. Those things that they knew were forgotten. So now we came with the idea, I see the world is moving. Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, they knew. Adam knew the world was moving. And Adam told it to his children and the children of their children. In some generations, things were forgotten. Therefore, we come all the time and we say we try to invent new things and we find new things. But truth of the matter is, those things already we know at the time 2,000 years ago.
The Rabbi is written for the simple man, right. A simple man, right, who is easier to understand when you tell him, he stops the sun, than to tell him the whole scientific things of the whole earth, or goes around, right. You know, so God wants to make it simple for the simple man to understand the miracle of Yeshua. Maybe.
The point is, it's wrong. That's to say, you don't tell the sun, stop the sun, if you stop the earth. Yeshua should say, stop the earth. Everybody should know it means stop the sun. That's the question, and it's, I don't know, it's a good question. I have no answer for it.
The concept of the earth being flat or round
right.
was discussed for hundreds, if not right. thousands of years.
Hundreds of years, right.
But the point is proving it. That's when the world actually accepted it.
Again.
Everyone had to prove it.
When they had a discussion, they did not have this proof that the Gemara said this was proved before already by someone. Right. If they would have known before, they wouldn't have an argument. They would ask what you asked. So anyway, the Gemara said this was a wrong speech, and I don't know if it was wrong engraving, but it was a wrong speech to talk about Yeshua to say this was his power. And that's what everybody spoke about. When he died, he said he was able to stop the sun, he was able to stop the moon. The Gemara said you should not have said it. This is not the power. The power is that he was able to learn Torah the whole time. Ari says like this. This is really the secret, Ari says. Ari says that if you remember in the beginning of the Yeshua spoke about it, the first chapter, I believe, with your permission, if you remember, I told you that Yeshua did not study. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he spoke to him, if you may say, the first time he told him, my slave Moshe died. And slavery doesn't mean that Moshe was a slave of God as a slave. What it means is he was studying constantly Torah. And Yeshua did not study as much. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first time he speaks to him, he tells him, listen, I want you to learn, I want you to study, I want you to learn, I want you to study. Not only that, if you remember, he forgot. After the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua forgot 3,000 halachot, 3,000 laws. And then Israel came. And really, those halachot were not established back until towards the end of the life of Yeshua. But this person, his name is Otniel ben Knez. That person has really captured the city that's called the city of the book. That city of the book that Mr. Otniel ben Knez, Khaled's brother, captured. He has another name, yeah. No, that's something right. His name is not Yifanei, his name is Chetron. Right, his name is Chetron, it's not Khaled ben Yifanei. Yifanei means something else. His name is Khaled ben Chetron. But he is a brother from his mother, not from his father. This is the Gemara there. So Otniel ben Knez. So really, Yehoshua ben Nun, when he was appointed to lead Am Yisrael, to become so-called, if you may say, the king of Am Yisrael, did not study as much. By not studying as much, immediately he forgot a lot of laws. And Am Yisrael were very upset at him. They came and asked him questions. He said, I forgot, I don't know. And if you remember, I said that the reason why he forgot, because Moshe Rabbeinu asked him before he died, do you need anything? For me, he said, no, I know everything. I know everything. Moshe said, you sure about this? I know perfect. Because he said that statement, he doesn't want anything, he doesn't need anything. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, I know everything, I learned from you. It will be my always was staying with you, I learned, I know everything perfect. He didn't study, he said he doesn't have to study. And that caused immediately a tragedy that Am Yisrael wanted to kill him. After he was appointed to become the leader, Am Yisrael came and asked him questions and said, you're not the leader if you don't know how to answer. He says, what's going to be now? You don't know the halachot. And he really did not know it. Until, some Chachamim said, towards the end of his life, that this person, the brother of Caleb, captured the city of the book. At that time, he was able to come and fulfill the gap, the hollow that Yehoshua made by not remembering simple, if you may say, simple laws that Moshe Rabbeinu taught him. And this really goes back a little bit to Parashat Vayeshev, and then Parashat Vayigash in Sefer Bereshit. In Parashat Vayeshev it says that the power of Yosef really was that he was studying Torah with Yaakov Avinu. Eventually, when Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, Yosef's son Ephraim was studying with Yaakov. 17 years Yaakov studied with Yosef, if we may say 17, I don't know what time they started to learn. But until the age of 17, Yosef was together with Yaakov, studied with Yaakov. And then, when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, after Yosef became the king, Yaakov was learning with Ephraim 17 years. So all the Torah that we have today is that started from Abraham Avinu, transferred to Yitzhak, transferred to Yaakov, transferred to Ephraim. Transferred to Ephraim that Yehoshua ben Nun, the new leader that we have now, is the grandson of this God. And this is really how you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasized to Yehoshua all the time, you got to study, because you are the one that's going to transfer the Torah, and you were chosen partially because you're the grandson of Mr. Ephraim, that he learned directly the Torah from Yaakov Avinu. Of course, Yehoshua is learning from Moshe Rabbeinu as well. But one of the reasons that you were chosen to be the leader is not because you're so smart, says the Gemara. Yehoshua was not the smartest one, and Yehoshua was not the one that knew too much, but he was a servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. Servant of Moshe Rabbeinu says that he is not just a servant because he carried his things along, because he admired, he understood what Torah, what it means to study the Torah. He says that thing that you got to study the Torah, the love to study Torah, and the obligation to study Torah, that came from your great your grandfather Ephraim, that got it from his father Yosef, that learned from Yaakov everything. That this is really the power of Yehoshua Binu, and this is really what the Torah says, that Yaakov Binu, when he's blessing Ephraim, he's putting his right hand on Ephraim. It says,
I just realized something which I always question. Why do we keep studying the Torah and the Torah? And from what you're saying is, from what I can see is, in order to reread the Torah generation after generation, so we know its original meaning.
Right.
I always thought we reread it because we're looking for deeper and deeper meanings. And that's not necessarily so.
No.
Just to know its original meaning,
right.
So we can pass it on.
Right. Because otherwise we'll forget it,
right.
And will be no continuity.
So primarily it's to know the original meaning,
right.
Not
right.
More interpretation.
Right, it's secondary. Right. Again, so this is really the power of Yeshua Binyon. That's what the Gemara says. Yeshua Binyon was serving Moshe, says that he again, it's not because he served Moshe, he deserved to be the leader. It's very nice. I mean, if you're the Speaker of the House or the Speaker of the White House, you're not going to become the President because of it. It is just because you have the President to clean the dishes, eventually the President will get shot. I'm not trying to say anything, you know. But in Chas Shalom, Kennedy died. It says the new president is not the one that helped Kennedy to wash the dishes or to start his car or to fill gas in his car. It says, with all due respect, Yeshua Binun helped Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Moshe Rabbeinu, if we may say, a servant or a helper. But if you don't become a president of Am Israel, of all the Shvatim, United Shvatim, United Tribes, you say, Yeshua is the leader. It says, because he served Moshe Rabbeinu. That doesn't give him the right to be the president. Especially the Gemara said he was not the smartest at all.
Right.
The question is, right. It's higher authority. He said Yeshua should be the leader. But the question is, why did Hashem choose it? He was not the smartest, says the Gemara. And again, he was chosen, says the Gemara, because Hashem told Yeshua, Hashem told Moshe, he was the one that served you all the time, waited for you all the time. It's very nice. You can give him Nobel Peace Prize for waiting. If Arafat won't get it. But you don't give him the leadership of Am Israel. He is not more than all Am Israel. He's not like Moshe Rabbeinu. And he is not only more, the Gemara said, he is less than some of us. He was less than some of us. He was not the smartest. Nevertheless, the demand and the right that Kadosh Baruch Hu took to choose him, of course he doesn't need our permission, Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the way the Gemara says it, that's the whole secret about Yeshua. That's the secret. The secret is that he was the one that was chosen for the job because he understood how important it is to study. And Moshe constantly studied Torah. Therefore, Yeshua that served Moshe, it is because he said, I like to serve Moshe and help him because I understand how important it is to study. If Moshe will be busy washing dishes, Moshe will be busy to go fill up gas in the car. And Moshe will be busy with talking on the phone with the people. It says that he won't have time to study. And who will transfer to us everything? It says, therefore, I will stay next to Moshe. I will learn from Moshe. At the same time, I'm going to help Moshe a bit. It says, this is only, again, Zari, a continuation of his grandfather, Ephraim, that was studied with Yaakov. This is our heritage, really. That the Torah that we have, of course, comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, but the heritage that we have starts from Yaakov Abinu, that he was the first one that says in the Torah, learning, studying all the time. That thing, studying all the time, was transferred to Yosef first. And when Yosef became the king, his son Ephraim was learning with Yaakov Abinu. So this is really the whole power of Am Yisrael. And this is really the power that Yeshua was able to stop the sun. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset, says the Gemara, when Am Yisrael gave those speeches after Yeshua died, that they buried him and they engraved on his monument, the shape of a sun, it says the sun is the shape of a sun, he was able to stop the sun. That seems, well, that's not his power. His power is that he is able to transfer you the Torah that he will study from his Rebbe, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only that, finally, all his life he will study. Since the beginning of his kingdom that became the king, he did not study so much. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent an angel, if you remember, and the angel told him, you must study, otherwise I'm going to kill you. I said, again, the killing is because you're the one that's supposed to transfer and teach the Torah to generations to come to know the Torah. Therefore, you have an obligation to study in order for you to teach the Torah. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm upset. I'm upset that you are the one that you're going to give speeches about this guy that he was able to stop the sun and you engrave this on his grave. This is on his monument. This is not his power. His power is that he is called Eved Hashem, and this is why, you know, we called him Eved Hashem, the slave of God, something comparable that Moshe Rabbeinu was described as well in this book and in the Torah, that he is the slave of God. Slave of God doesn't mean that you're slave of God. It means that you study like a slave is busy serving his master. You should be busy learning Torah in order to transfer the generation later. So this is really the power of Yehuda as well. If you remember, it is a Parashat Miketz. When the Yaakov was ready to go down to Mitzrayim, he appointed Yehuda to open up a yeshiva, a school in Egypt. But Yehuda shalach lefanav, lorot lefanav goshna. And so he appointed Yehuda that Yehuda is going to make a place to study Torah. And this is really Yaakov Avinu is blessing Yehuda. Lo yasur shevet miyudah v'chukhev v'med raglav, says the Gemara, that from the tribe of Yehuda, a lot of people will study Torah. I said, study Torah in that tribe came from the appointment that Yaakov Avinu appointed him. Again, since Yaakov Avinu studied Torah with Yosef and then Yosef became a king, and Yaakov Avinu was going out to Mitzrayim, he asked Yehuda, you should do this job for me, I need a place to study. Eventually, when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, he found out that Ephraim is ready to learn with him, he transferred to Ephraim. But the idea of continuing learning and transferring the Torah that Yaakov Avinu learned in the Yeshiva of Sheva Evem was the choice of Yehuda. And this is why in his blessing, he is really his blessing Yehuda with being judged, with being something, a smart person to transfer the Torah. And this is really, says Dari, that's really the idea that Caleb ben Yefune goes to Yehoshua ben Nun and he tells him, listen, I want to have Hebron. I like to have the city of Hebron. And so that city, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give it to me, I visited the place. So Dari, what kind of request is this, what they needed for, what does it mean exactly that you wanted? So the city of Hebron has a lot of meaning besides the settlement. I said, the city of Hebron, underneath the place called Me'arat HaMakolad, is an entrance to Gan Eden. This is Gan Eden HaTachton, this is the Gan Eden Adam HaRishon was there, this is the own universe. From there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chased Adam HaRishon. And it says, Gan Eden was, and it is, and it's going to be, when Mashiach will come, that the place of Gan Eden, the gate will open up, will come back to Gan Eden. And it says, what do you do in that place? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create it for, and what was really the reason for putting Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden after he was created in Yerushalayim? He was moved to Hebron. He was moved to Gan Eden. The Gemara, Lovdar Leshomra, to study. Adam HaRishon was requested by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to move to Gan Eden, to be in Hebron to study Torah. It says this Chalev ben Yefune, that was the spy Chalev ben Yefune, that is now the president of the tribe of Yehuda. It says the power of that place, Hebron, that this is the entrance to Me'arat HaMakpelah, this is a special power. And it says, I'm going to show you who I am. It says, I am 85 years old and I have the strength as 40. This is nothing changed. It's not only nothing changed. I was there in Hebron 45 years ago and I was not afraid of the giants. The rest of the spies, says the Midrash, were afraid of the giants. And Moshe sent the spies to look for Eretz Israel. The giants looked at the newspaper and they said, don't go to Hebron, over there there are giants. Everybody was scared to go to the giant, to go to that city. Caleb said, I'm going over there, I'm not afraid of them. They thought he was a hero. What do you think, he's so strong, you think he's going to overcome a giant? Impossible. He says, the reason why I'm not afraid, says Dali, because it's the power of Torah that Caleb was from the tribe of Yehuda, that he established at the time the Bet Midrash, the Bet Knesset, the school in Egypt. It says the blessing that Yaakov gave them is they should be connected to the Torah. It says he went to Hebron, he said, I'm not afraid of the giants. It says not only that, he's telling Yeshua, look, I am now 85, I'm like 40. It says I'm not even getting old. It says I have the same strength that I had 45 years ago, I have to say. It's almost impossible. A person should say, I'm 85. It says something like about Moshe Rabbeinu. At the age of 120, he was like at the age of 20. But usually a person gets older. Says the Caleb, I'm not getting older. Says Dali, the reason for that is the Torah that he was learning and the amount of studying that he put, and not only that, the goal that he had in his life is something that he got from his great-grandfather, Yehuda. And eventually, this Yaakov Avinu blessed them. He said that blessing gave them the energy and not to be scared and be afraid to go to the city of Hebron. So he tells Yeshua, listen, I would like you to give me that city. I want to prove it to everybody. Here are the giants still alive, 45 years later. In the Gemara, those giants were so high and strong that people were standing under next to the giant. They had a shadow of the giant on top of them, and they couldn't even see the sun. And the Caleb said, I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm going to destroy those. He says, because I want to prove everybody what is the power of Torah. Therefore, he talks to him this way. He says, listen, you and me, the only ones that did not say anything about the land. He says, what it has to do you and me? Why are you talking about Yeshua? Nobody's asking about Yeshua to give him a compliment. He says, no, you and me are on the same level. He says, you study Torah, therefore you became the president of Israel. I am also study Torah, and therefore I was not afraid to go to visit the city of Hebron. I wasn't afraid of the giants. Therefore, I'm asking you to give me now the city of Hebron. This is the entrance to Gan Eden, and this is a place that I deserve to be because I want to show everybody that this is the power of study, to be able to be saved from those giants. As I'm going to tell you, everybody was afraid to fight them. I'm going to fight them by myself. Not only that, there's a city next to it. So the city next to it is called Kiryat Sefer, the city of the book. There's no coincidences that it's called the city of the book. It says everybody was afraid to go and capture it. There were giants over there, not really giants, but very strong people. And the Caleb said, listen, I'd like to know who is a volunteer. So that is a really volunteer. You need a hitman. How are you going to overcome? I says, no, you need one person. We need one person. So we need one person to capture the city Kiryat Sefer. I says, where is the army? He doesn't understand. We don't want an army. We want to prove everybody one thing, that by study Torah, you can overcome the giant. By study Torah, the city is called Dvir, very strong city. He says, it's called Kiryat Sefer. He says, this is the city of the book. He says, everybody cannot capture it. So the president of Shevet Yehuda said, listen, I need a guy that captures it by himself. I don't want him to bring any Nagbaladin and not any help from the Arabs, no suicide bomber, nothing. One single person. Anybody can do it. Says the Gemara, yes, not the right. Says Dali, what do you mean, yes, not right? What do you have in his mind? He says, one person should capture the city. Must be somebody like me. Must be, I also was the only one, a single person, went to Hebron. I wasn't afraid of anybody, not of Arafat, not of the giant. I walked inside, I went to Maratha Machpelah. He said, don't go, you need a bus with a special window, you need this, you need that, don't go, they're going to shoot you. He said, I'm not afraid of nobody, I'm going straight. He said, what is your power? He said, my power is Torah. He said, Zari, that's what he said, I need one single guy. I have my daughter, she is the most beautiful girl. Everybody comes home, looks at his wife, he said, yes. He says, I need a son-in-law. The son-in-law should be my copy. He says, not my copy. It's God's copy. This is the servant of God. If somebody can capture the city by himself the way I did. He says, what did I do? I went to Hebron 45 years ago without any guards. Walked in. I wasn't afraid of the giant. Today, I captured the city of Hebron by myself. And I killed the three giants by myself. I need one guy to do this job in the city clean-up depot. I will do it. He said, who came? He says, his brother came. He says, no coincidence. He says, Gemara, you know who is his brother? He's the smartest one, study Torah all the time. Otniel ben Kenaz, says the Gemara, he brought back those 3,000 laws that were forgotten in the time of Yeshua ben Nun. See how smart he is. He says, the Gemara, he is so smart, he studies so much. He says, that gave him the power to overcome the city of Kiryat Sefer and capture it by himself. He says, therefore the Nabi wants to tell you something. Let me tell you. He says, he got married to the girl. The girl tells him, listen, go tell my father we want more land. He says, what do you mean you need more land? He says, you don't deserve more land. He says, you don't understand. When you study Torah, says Dari, this is the power of Torah, you get anything. He says, Torah gives you the right for everything. He says, if you're not happy with something, you may get it. He says, after the wedding, she came and she told the father, we need more land. He says, what do you mean you need more land? You don't deserve more land. The land has to be divided among the tribes. He says, I gave you your land. He says, your land is dry, so you have to fix it. You have a problem, a major problem. He says, no. Listen, I need to support myself. He says, what support you say? I support myself because my husband is Otniel ben Kenaz, and this is your brother, that his power is the Torah. The power of Torah is so great, even though it is the Lato, even though it is the Kohen HaGadol, it tells you which part you get. As long as you study so much, says the Gemara, you can overcome everything, even though the Lato says you get here. Kalev and Yefuneh would give you another piece of land because of the power of study Torah. This is what Yehuda was, something comparable to Yehoshua ben Nun. And this is why Kalev, the president of the tribe of Yehuda, compares himself to Yehoshua ben Nun and tells Yehoshua ben Nun some instructions, and Yehoshua ben Nun agreed to it. This is the end of the Yehoshua, to tell you that this is really the Takalibba who expected the speech upon Israel. It's not that Yehoshua stopped the son. Stopping the sun from moving is the power of the Torah. It's something comparable. It is Yeshua was able to stop the sun or the earth from moving because he was studying so much, because he was involved with the Torah so much. It says, the Torah says you should know his colleague, Kalev ben Yefuneh, is going to get the city of Hebron, and his daughter is going to marry his brother. She is going to get an extra piece of land in Israel. It says, even though the law is this and the law is that, like Yeshua ben Nun was above the law of creation, he was able to stop the earth from moving. It says, his Kalev ben Yefuneh's daughter, she is going to overcome him. It says, the Lato and the Kohen HaGadol, she says, I need another piece of land. It says, because of study Torah of her husband, Otniel ben Kenaz, that he was able to capture a city by himself, he said, I deserve to have Parnassah, to have a better land. Now this land can be very hard for me to seed and to plow in this land. Please give me something else. And then he said, yes, he did give it to her. The Kalev ben Yefuneh, president of Shevet Yehudah, probably that gave an extra piece of land because, again, the power of study and devoted life of her husband, the Kalev's brother, to the top. Amen.